Greetings, CSW affiliates and coaches. Today we did a podcast with Marcus Charles, Kevin Lee, Alan Baker, and myself. We touched on a good affiliate and coach question in that one. So we wanted to present it here for you guys. It's also, we did a premium podcast. That full podcast, excluding the part you're about to see, will be posted to the premium area. So be sure to log in and check that out. But this part here is a question came up about growing your school from a smaller school or a training group, transitioning into a little bit larger group and then moving into a more professional organization. So here it is. I'll let the guys speak for themselves. Enjoy.
I'm going to ask Kev a question. Okay. We got one here. What area of CSW are you focusing on at this time, Kev? What are you working on? What are you training?
Well, a lot of guys in our class, they don't some of them do, you know, jiu-jitsu, and most of them don't. So I'm just basically working on the basic, you know, guard pass, submission from guard and side. So
what's the first one you teach?
What do you mean?
You said guard pass, submission. What generally when you teach a new person, what's the first submission you like to teach them?
From side?
Yes.
Probably either Kimura or V on locks.
So. Do you just start from side control, or do you work from standing to like a takedown? Or
I do. Yeah, we do start from a standing. Like I do the way, like you know how Alan taught me, just warm up, and we'll do a little bit like pummeling,
okay,
takedowns, and then we'll do from knee, like knee takedowns, and then go on the ground.
Okay, so let's say you're starting out, and let's say you're on your knees, face to face. Do you pummeling from the knees?
Not as much. We do pummeling mostly stand up for
standing.
Now.
Standing. Okay, so if you're doing standing pummeling, what do you do next? What let's just say I'm Mr. New Guy. I'm gonna do pummeling, like the swim. We're gonna do the basic swim. And then what's your favorite thing to teach for what takedown would you say is first?
Takedowns? I use a lot of hand and knee check or the out balancing.
Okay, okay.
Or the arm drag. So.
Or arm drag, okay. All right, now I'm down, and what's your next position you go to?
Well,
you just drop into Keizo, you just drop right to your knees to side top?
Probably side top, yeah.
Okay.
Keizo sometimes, yeah.
Okay, and do you break that down into steps? Like how many steps are there to that?
I do break them down depending on the level of students, because we do have a blue belts of, you know, blue belt jiu-jitsu in the class. So if you do have more of them in the class, then I'll probably skip like a few steps. But if it's more new students, and I'll try to like break it down,
okay,
step by step.
Nice. Cool.
Yep.
Back to you, Alan.
Awkward pause for effect.
What about you, Marcus?
What's that?
So he likes the like an arm drag or like a knee tap takedown from pommeling. If somebody new comes in, what's the first like a submission or what do you teach somebody first when they come in? You say you got a new guy, he's never grappled. Like how would you get him into his clinch work and get him down to the ground and show him how to do his first submission? What would you normally work on?
Well, I usually, if the guy's like totally green, I always start the guys out on the star drill number one.
Okay.
Just to get them to be motion, get the motion down. As far as submission goes, I like to give them a little sense of confidence. So once they do the star drill, then I'll have them go into the mount and then just do a straight V arm lock. And my favorite one's the fist choke. The reason that is because that's like the very first time I rolled with Eric, if you want to call it that. He kept getting me with the fist choke.
Yeah, me too.
So it's like it got ingrained inside of me. And it's a pretty cool, it's an easier one to teach. It seems like they get it. And it's not as technical as maybe some of the other ones are. So I teach them that. That's pretty much the one. And then the skull crusher, they pretty much like too.
You got mean right away.
What's that?
We went to the mean ones right away.
Oh. but the Star Drill, the first one, they seem to like that pretty well. You know, crossbody, Keza, north and south, blah, blah, blah. They seem to get into that pretty well, and it seems to – it's a good building block for them. Depending on what they want, if they come in and they're actually they are affiliates for CSW, that's what I'll start them with. Now, if they're just my –
Hi, puppy.
Hold on. Oh. All right. Neighbor's dog's out. Sorry, guys. If they're one of my other guys, like say like Jim or a guy like Kurt and some of those guys, who, you know, they're just in it because they love the arts, then I'll just start from like one guy just signed up, Anthony. He just wanted to do JKD, which he says he wants everything, CSW, everything we do. And so what I'll start out with is just a basic entry off of, if this is what you wanted me to answer, like...
No, you go.
You know, they throw the punch, you know, let's say a simple level destruction, go on in, go to the tie clinch, go from the tie clinch into standing pummeling, maybe like a simple arm drag to a sacrifice throw right down to the Star Drill, and then the first submission, like get to the mount, so on.
Do you use the Motion Master bag for Star Drills?
I have one for myself. I don't have one in the gym. So I would like to introduce that. Once I get my own gym opened up, I'd like to have like maybe 15 or 20 of those things up against the wall where the guys can use them.
I do that on a regular basis rather than just sitting there doing sit-ups. I do rounds. I love Star Drill 1. I love that one. I've done posts on it. Get a little Facebook buzz. We probably should do a, and maybe that's an idea we can run with later. Maybe do a video on that at some point on how regular guys do the Star Drill, not the superstars at Eric's gym. Because I think what's his name? Flow Master, the break dancer, did that on. I don't know if it was Star Drill that he did, but he made me sick by how easy he moved around on that bag. And some of the other guys, it's like, oh, really? Okay, I can't do it like that. We might do a video and show how old guys actually use that bag so everybody feel better about it.
That's a nice machine. It's a nice bag. When I used to, before Sifu Larry Hartzell passed away, I did an intensive. I was doing intensives with him, and he had the bags at Grudan's school, and he said that Eric invented those.
He did.
Yeah, and he's actually the one who told me to start training with Eric.
Yeah, we used to call it the alligator bag.
Oh, yeah, because they were green.
Well, it looks like an alligator.
right, back then they were green. Yeah. And I had bought one when it was on Rev Gear, and like if it rains here and I can't run in the morning, that's what I'll use. You know, it's pretty nice, and you don't have to really deal with anybody. It's your own personalized training on your own. It's a nice piece of equipment.
Awesome.
Always shows up on time.
Yeah, exactly. Always there.
Doesn't complain.
Yep.
Somebody's been watching Mr. Paulson's videos.
I got the DVD from that. I haven't watched it in a while, though. But you said that's going to be put up soon, too, right?
Yeah, Bob? The Motion Master is going to... now, you can't buy the DVD by itself, but it is going to be in the premium area. That's a little perk for our premium guys. You know, you get one when you get the bag from Rev Gear, but you can't just buy the DVD. Now let's see, let's go back. All right. So let's drop in. Well, you did mention you might hold that for another podcast. We're at about 50 minutes, but you did mention, when you get your own school, that could get more into a business area. Some of our other discussions, we did talk about things like that, and moving into that area. I think we'll hold that for a lead coach or a coach only podcast. This is more for our premium guys to see, but we do want to get into more of the business development types of things. And that's more Alan's territory. So let me. Do you have anything?
Messages after this, Alan.
Oh, what's that?
I told Alan I'm going to get him a lot of text messages since he's the guy to talk to about it.
Send them to Iris.
I refer to podcast number one. You will meet Iris.
Yeah, Miss Iris. Go back. That's Iris. That's my right arm.
So,
I got a couple here for Kev real quick.
Okay.
One of the questions we had on this list is, how do you handle a new inquiry? What is your process for introducing them to the program? I know, I think Sifu Fong, I don't know if he still does it, but he's actually involved in the process. Can you explain? I'm a new student. Let's say I'm a walk-in. What process am I going to go through in order to get brought into the school?
Well, for our school, we have a Sifu still does a one-on-one meeting with them. So if we just like walk-in without any schedule, we have a questionnaire for them filled up. If Sifu is available at that point, we'll have him sit down with Sifu one-on-one in his office so they'll talk. Or if Sifu is not available, we'll have someone, senior students, senior instructor, talk to them. And then what happens, sit up and watch your class while somebody's talking to them. So if they want to watch your class, they can. If they do want to try a class, it's a trial fee.
You don't do an intro lesson. You pretty much will plug them into the classroom.
Yeah. If they want to do intro lesson, it's basically just a class. In the old school, we used to do two different options. We have number one option, you do intro lesson with Sifu 101, or you do a whole class trial. And intro lesson is only 30 minutes. So
when you plug them into class, do you have someone with them in class?
Yes.
Or?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Typically the senior students.
They stay with them and kind of got them through the class.
Yes.
Do you try to sign them up after the first class, or do you do more than one class?
Technically, yes. We just try to talk to them after class. And most of them, most 90% of them will sign up right away if they have a really good relationship with the guy in the class.
Do you do any type of preparation between the class and when they sit down to close the agreement? Or do you just bring them right out of class, right into the office, and start talking to them about your programs?
Well, it all depends. Well, like all the guys in the office and know what to do. Like, as soon as they finish, sort of grab the guy and talk to the guy and just basically talk to them first, see how they like the class. We'll try to, we don't go into a program right away. We'll try to, build a little bit of relationship, just kind of talk, and then just talk, hey, how's this, and sort of they start easing out, we start talking to a program. That's how we bring them into a program.
Okay. A lot of times when you come in, you sit down, you'll have to handle a few objections, obviously. How do you guys, do you prep the objections, or do you handle them in the office, or do you handle them at all?
The objection from the not signing up?
Yeah. Oh, which is common. I mean, a lot of people that are watching this are school owners. They're professionals.
Yeah. Well, typically what happens, sometimes they have financial problems when it was, I got to think about it. So if they do leave the school, without signing up, we'll try to call them up and, hey, if you do this, we might give you we do charge them $110 rich fee of $199. Mm-hmm. If they do sign up, come back and sign up, we might give them 50% off, which is $99. So...
Okay.
So
I'm a new guy. I just signed up. I'm excited, but I'm scared to death of that guy in class. Actually, he looks just like you. So how do you help me come into your program?
We have a thing called mentor program. So we'll get someone mentoring the guy, get him feel comfortable. Like when the new guy's trying classes, we typically try to partner him up with, someone more friendly, someone more helpful in the class. Sifu actually does that pretty well. He goes, okay, can you go, help out this guy, and so on. So.
Right. So I would be assigned a senior student, and they pretty much would become a friend, elder brother, guide me in the class.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any type of follow-up to me, I'm the new student, after I have signed up?
Yes. I do all the follow-up, when the new student signed up, I mark my calendar, tell them this student either 3 months, this guy's going to meet with Sifu 101. That's a student update meeting.
Excellent.
Now, within that meeting, they had to fill sort of like a paperwork. It's about 2 pages, basically talk about your personal goals, what's your objective, and then stuff like that. So,
nice.
And I collect them afterwards, and I look at them, and I'll talk. In the instructor meeting, that's what we'll talk about. This guy's focused on this. We want to make sure we satisfy their goals, what they were looking for, because everybody has different reasons coming to school. So we just try to, like, you know, make them happy, you know. So
do you keep an active file on the students' goals and what benefits they want to gain from the program, pretty much?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty
much. How often in our office do you revisit that file? Do you have a schedule you follow when you?
Well, my daily test when I go into office, I will check who needs to be updated, like follow up and stuff like that. Like this guy needs to, you know, meet with Sifu again, and then this guy, and so on. So
what software do you guys use to do that, Kevin?
Rainmaker.
What's it called? Rainmaker?
Yes, sir. Rainmaker.
Okay. I don't know about that one. You know about that
I've
one?
I've heard a lot of good stuff about it, yeah.
Yeah, it's a new program. It's got a lot of ability to do stuff, and then it's supposed to be designed specifically for Marshall School.
Okay.
So, I mean, and it's still developing the program, so.
What, is that cross-platform? Is that Mac and PC?
Yeah, it's basically it's an online platform, yeah.
Oh, it's web-based?
Yeah, it's web-based.
Okay, cool.
How do you guys track attendance?
Attendance?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a report. I do that every week. Just say, hey, if we have missing students, like MMA students, we'll give them a call. Just see what's up with them.
So generally within 7 days, you've got a contact going out to someone that's missed.
If you miss more than 8 days, you'll get a call either from me or of the office members.
Right. If you're comfortable with it, how many students do you have at the school now?
Over 200-something. I'm not exactly sure. So, because we got like couple signed up this past weekend, so.
Mm-hmm. How many staff members do you have working right now for you? Full-time, part-time?
Full-time is just me. I'm the only full-time guy. And then two other part-time. And then Simo's coming back into work, so basically four.
Okay.
Three part-time and one full-time.
And you guys break up the what you're responsible for.
Yes.
Actually, I know you do because I saw her handing out the list the other day while I was there, so. Excellent. So a lot of the processes, this is one of the reasons I asked that, is just to kind of keep in mind what size school we're talking about. Because in my opinion, like when I'm doing business coaching for guys, I break it down 0 to 50, 50 to 100, 100 to 150, 150 to 200. And along that process, wherever you're sitting will change what you're responsible for. Generally around 75 to 100 students, I start making enough income that I can hire someone part-time to be a program director, which is, you have to do it if you're going to grow any past that, and if that's your goal. So that's kind of what I ask. You guys are 200-plus students, got a full-time employee helping out. So a lot of times guys will listen when we talk to people who work in a school or school owners and go, man, how do they get all that done? And it's an important thing to realize that if I'm a one-man show, I remember being a one-man show, you have to choose intelligently what you spend your time on because you just can't do it all. All right.
Marcus, do you have any questions on that? Because you're making the transition right now, too. You're working on growing your group. How many guys do you have right now?
I think I got between 10 and 20 as far as my own guys that are there with, that includes the guys who are the affiliates. Some guys are just, they just come in to train. It's starting to get a little difficult with, just even getting payments. Like with you guys, it's a little bit different, but because some guys, you know, they just hand me the cash, basically, and I give my cut to the gym owners that I teach out of. The hardest issue that I've had at times where, and I don't know if this should be put on a public forum, but, you know, I try to get the money in by the first of the month, and then it turns into, hey, do you mind if I pay next week? Hey, do you mind if I pay next this week? Or it goes into that, and then I don't want to be the jerk that says, no, man, look, you got to pay me the first of the month.
Right.
And then it turns into that type of thing. Hey, well, you know, the seminar is coming up. I can only pay you for the seminar that you're having. You're having Eric out next month. I can only pay for that, or I can only pay the dues. What do you want me to do? You know, it gets into that type of spiel. And I don't want to be a jerk because every student's important. But at the same time, I don't want to be the pushover where it's like, okay, you know what, don't worry about it. Where it's like, if you're such a nice guy, they take advantage of you.
I will. I'm just making a note for myself here for an edit. We are okay. in a little bit of the business area right now, and that's fine with me. Let's get into this a little bit. I will edit this out of the premium final okay. presentation. So, Alan, let's. Marcus has 20 guys, and he's having some problems collecting his money.
Well, this is like a lead pro coach discussion, right? Okay.
All right, let me make a note. Do you want? All right, this will be lead.
No, just I'll answer it.
Well, we can guide it.
I'd say in front of my students.
Do you want to guide this for affiliates, or do you want to guide this into? We can go into
any type of school owner, which you know, affiliate, that type of thing. A business is business.
Okay, so this is. Okay, I've got my note here. Let's drop into a little bit of that because I think this is important. We can jump back into some more of the public stuff. I'll make a little note for that too. Let's I'll cut this little chunk out and only put it in the for the affiliates. This will go on CSW Coach. The other stuff will go in the premium because I don't think we said anything there that anybody can't hear. But as far as this part here, we're into business now.
If I were sitting anywhere from 0 to 50, you know, if I'd already had 10 guys, do you have them on agreements?
No, there's no contracts or anything signed. No, it's just a verbal.
Yeah, I'd have changed that immediately. Everything will be on some sort of written agreement. And with a written agreement, too, it gives you the ability later on to demonstrate financial income if I had to go to the bank and say I wanted to buy those bags you were talking about earlier.
Okay.
And so I could go to the bank and say, look, I have this much promised income that's coming in. Will you loan me $1,000? I'm going to get these bags and grow my business. At the same time, you know, it creates a certain level of value and responsibility in the students. It's something that just absolutely has to happen. I'll give an example. I got one of the guys I'm working with out of New York. He made that painful decision, I think it was about a year and a half ago. And he buys me dinner every time he sees me now. There are over 200 people all on agreements, which is it's just how it goes when you start, you know, building the business. So, get them on some sort of agreement. Okay. And you can have an out, like you could have a 90-day out, or you could say, I want you to buy out, purchase a third, you know, in order if you want to get out. And then I would also have someone like, you know, a service. For me, I like having a service who can do calls for me when I'm around 100 or 0 to 100. For example, EFC. Back when they were doing a good job, they did the collections, and one of the main reasons is they're the bad guy. So you don't, like you said, you don't have to be the bad guy. But the truth is, there needs to be a bad guy. There has to be. There has to be a good guy. And that's you. You're Sifu, you're the instructor, you're the coach, and there needs to be a bad guy. And he needs to be separated from you because that's just the way it's handled.
Okay.
Two, it's like you mentioned, too, the guys will come in, well, I can pay you for this, I can pay you for that. You know, honestly, they have it. It's just whether or not they see the value and benefit in it enough to purchase it. Okay. You know, and I would, and if I had them on an agreement, I'd go, well, it's the agreement, obviously, you know. You have to take care of Marcus because you make a commitment. It's like you went to that gym and you talked and said, I will commit to pay you a percentage on a regular basis. I will commit to keep this mat clean, and I will be here. My students won't show up, and I won't be here. That's a big commitment. So now the students have no commitment at all. This is like, oh, I've got to do all this, but you can't, you know. Then later on, your goal is a brick-and-mortar location. You know, Marcus Charles Martial Arts, and that is a huge commitment. And you know, they would have to be on an agreement. Especially, I'm signing a lease. I want to go talk to my landlord, and I sit down with him. How much is it? Well, it's $10 a square foot. Plus, I'm going to add on $3 per square foot for common area maintenance, CAM fee. And I'm going to add this, and we're going to roll taxes in on you. And go, well, you know, I've been in business for this long. And I have these agreements, which, you know, so I've got stability. Work with me a little bit. Same thing at the bank. And most of them will, especially in the climate that we've got right now as far as how things have been the last couple of years. But is that help out a little bit?
Yeah, big time, big time. The agreement thing, those you said about it, gives them a sense of a responsibility, and then yes. All of a sudden that really put the light bulb up in there. Got a kebab out there. That's pretty cool. I like that.
And, you know, you're going to hear, oh, man, what do you want me to do that for? I might have to do this. I might have to do that. And you go, so you're really not serious about training martial arts.
Right.
And I don't know many martial arts that are worth their spit that you train for 6 months and you're done. It's a life change. Maybe this isn't for you. And a real important thing to remember on your end is attrition happens. And it is part of business. Just because I have an interpersonal relationship with somebody, don't let it force you to make a decision on the business end. In other words, well, I just can't sign an agreement. That happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I explain it to guys this way. I'm going to build a fishing net. If I'm going to catch all the little fish, little fish meaning maybe they're only paying me $25 a month, I have to build, you know, a little net, and I catch them all. I have all these guys to work with and care for. It's a big responsibility. Or I make the net a little bigger. Squares in the net are a little bigger. The little fish will swim through, but I catch the big ones. And the big ones are maybe a little different age group. They have jobs. They are responsible with their bills. And again, the environment that is, what product am I offering? It's like we all talked about earlier, the meathead.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a large market. The larger market is the guy who wants to train like one and gain the benefits, but he doesn't want to get beat up. That's a good market. And a lot of those guys, they have the money, and they don't mind signing an agreement. So, you know, you'll scare a few off. Everybody I've ever had this conversation with, you're going to lose a few, but that's okay. You know, you'll go through a 3 to 4 month adjustment, and then nobody will know any different, and then you'll just grow from there.
Okay.
Yeah. And you know, too, later on, I go to that school owner that I'm working with, and I go, you know, I had 20 people a year ago, and you were getting, say, 10% of that 20, right? Well, now I've got 100. So we're making a lot more money. Maybe we should have a little discussion about the percentage. Well, how do I know? Well, I've got agreements. I've got 100 agreements here. This is what's coming in. You're doing pretty good. Now, I've got a choice. I've got 100 students. I could pay rent down the street, but I'd like to stay here and work with you, but we have to work a little bit something out, you know, because it's growing. You are benefiting. We're both winning, but that type of conversation.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you. That's really cool. That was worth getting up early for this.
You did not.
That's good, because I'm still asleep.